Father, we love you. We worship and honor you. We thank you that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, it is for freedom that the Son of God has set us free. You have not called us to be in bondage. You have not called us, Lord, to labor and to be heavy burdened, Lord. You said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Jesus, you said, take my yoke upon thee and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you will find rest for your souls. I thank you, Lord, that you came into this world to set the sinner free, to open the eyes of the blind, to heal the brokenhearted. We rejoice in that victory, and there's nothing the devil can do about it. Hallelujah. I'm so glad, Lord, that everything you did was irreversible, Lord. It was eternal. It was done once and for all time. So today we rejoice in the victory. We are risen with Christ and seated with him in heavenly places. Is there anybody in victory today in the house? The Bible says we are ascended and risen with Christ and seated with him in heavenly places. Today the name of my message is Dreamers and Doers. Dreamers and Doers. I borrow this phrase. It's a popular program at Disney World. Some of you have heard of it, where students are rewarded for being dreamers and doers. Students in elementary school, middle school, and high school are nominated, and then they have to go through a process, and they have to write an essay, and they have to tell about their life and all of this. And finally, if they're picked, they win all kinds of prizes and so on and so forth. They become an official dreamer and doer. Among past winners, there's a student who learned how to give back even after living in a homeless shelter, a student who organized book drives for needy children. We're going to learn about her in a second. And there was a student who excelled in science education with a goal of creating clean, unlimited power sources. All of these children were rewarded for being dreamers and doers. Everybody say dreamers and doers. There was one young girl from middle school. Right here, Hunters Creek Middle School. As a young child living in a motel, Topanga Sina struggled academically. But with the help of her teachers, Topanga improved her grades and was inspired to help younger children learn to read and have access to books. Now, if you were homeless and living in a shelter or living in a motel, you would probably have a legitimate reason to feel down on yourself. You could say, you know, I mean, I have a right to feel sorry for myself. I'm homeless. You know, I have no. But this girl decided she was going to do something. Somebody say amen. Amen. So her grades improved, and then she was inspired to help younger children how to read and have access to books. She started a program called Dare to Care. She organized book drives for children living in homeless shelters, where she also volunteers. This is a middle school student. Besides her focus on reading, Topanga has helped organize a school gardening project to teach fellow students about healthy living. According to her teachers, she makes helping others a top priority despite the challenges she has faced in learning and life. She's a dreamer and a doer. The world rewards not just those who dream, but also those who do. The world will stand up and notice not just your dream, but if you can do what your dream is telling you to do. Somebody say amen. I want you to look in the Bible in Acts 26. There was a man named Saul of Tarsus, who was a man full of passion for the wrong reasons. He was passionate about religion, but he didn't know Jesus. Acts chapter 26, verse 15 in the NIV. Are you there with me? You know the story very well. He eventually wrote more than half of the New Testament. This guy was a dreamer and a doer. When the light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell on his face, and God spoke to him, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said from heaven, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you." Everybody say, appeared to you. Appeared to you. "To appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and what you will see of me." He didn't just have a dream, but he had a vision of Jesus. You know, some people are dumbstruck out in the desert, and they have these hallucinations, and they see things in the desert because they have heat stroke. But let me tell you clearly that Saul, who became Paul the apostle, he wasn't having a daydream or any heat stroke. He had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw something that revolutionized his entire life. And I'm hoping and praying with all my heart, and I've been praying this week, that you will see something about God that changes your life forever. That you will never, you'll never ever be bored in God's presence. You will never ever take lightly the sacrifice that Christ made that you and I might have eternal life. That instead of spending your passions on things that don't matter and things that don't last, that we will spend our energy and spend our passions on things that will last for eternity. Hallelujah. For there's an old saying that says there's only one life and it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Can you say amen? So God says to Paul, I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what you will see of me. So there was more to come. Everybody say there was more to come. You haven't discovered all that God wants to show you about himself. I've been on this journey quite a few years. But guess what, guys? I'm still learning about Jesus. I'm still falling in love with him. I'm still amazed. If you don't approach salvation, if you don't approach the Bible, if you don't approach this life that we have, this new life that we have, with a sense of awe and wonder and amazement, why would you fall down and worship him? People worship rock stars. People worship movie stars. And how in the world could we be ho-hum and mediocre and bored about Jesus? And he says to him, I am sending you to open the eyes of the blind and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So then, King Agrippa, he's talking to King Agrippa. I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. Let's just end right there. Say it with me. I was not disobedient to the vision of heaven. We are constantly in danger as Christians of making God too small. A story is told about Abraham Lincoln went to hear a famous preacher. This is a true story. And he was coaxed by one of his assistants on his staff. He said, Mr. President, there's a famous preacher in town. He's known all over. You've got to go and hear him. He happened to be in Washington, D.C. that weekend. So Mr. Lincoln agreed and went with his associate there, one of his staff members, and sat through the sermon of this gentleman. And the sermon was quite eloquent. It was very deep. Everybody say deep. It was very deep. And he had all the Greek and the Latin and all of this, and he broke down the words and he exposited the sermon and this and that. And as he left, the young man who brought the president said, well, what did you think? He said, it was a great sermon, but I'm very disappointed. He said, how could you be disappointed? It was such a great message. He goes, Lincoln said, he never asked us to do something great. Wow. He gave that whole message, but he never brought it home by saying, now the ball is in your hands. Now it's you that are called to do something great. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are called to do something great for God. You can be a dreamer and a doer. You see, Mr. Disney captured something that we know from the Word of God. That people who have a dream and a vision and are willing to put it all on the line and to do what God asks them to do can accomplish great things and make the world a better place. Can you say amen? History is full of amazing examples of dreamers and doers, people who had a dream or vision to change their world for the better. They wanted their lives to count for something. They wanted to make the world a better place. You read about them in the history books, like Sir Isaac Newton, Galileo, Clara Barton, Copernicus, Louis Pasteur, William Wilberforce, one of the great prime ministers of England who helped abolish slavery in the slave trade in England, Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, Nelson Mandela, Harriet Tubman, Mother Teresa, Dr. Martin Luther King. All of these people had a dream. All of them had a vision. And the ones that I mentioned, for the better, to make the world a better place. Now, there's a lot of people with evil intentions that also have a dream. Karl Marx had a dream. Adolf Hitler had a dream. Is anybody following what I'm trying to say here this morning? Dreams are powerful things. Dreams can set people free, or dreams can enslave people. Dreams can bring freedom, or dreams can bring destruction. But these people understood that they needed more than the dream. They had to work. They had to put their heart and their focus and their attention. They had to say no to other things. In order to do the best, you have to say no to a lot of good things. If you want to be the best Christian you can be, you got to stay focused. You have to be focused on being the best Christian. It's not just going to happen automatically. It is a partnership between you and God. And there's things that God is asking you to obey. There's things that God is saying, that's not for you. There's times when God is saying, turn that television off. Or stop surfing the web. Come on now, somebody say amen. There's a price to pay. Somebody say, there's a price to pay. Some of these people actually died trying to accomplish their dream. Did you know that the woman who is credited with helping us to understand the power of X-rays for medical purposes, Madame Curie. How many of you have heard of Madame Curie? Did you know that she died of radiation poisoning? She died from radiation poisoning because she was experimenting with radiation to understand the X-ray, but she died in the process. People died trying to make this world a better place. And now we look at them as heroes, dreamers, and doers. But in the Bible, there are people of faith with the same and even more important challenge. It's not just about curing the body. It's about curing the soul. Hallelujah. It's not just giving us a healthy place on earth, but giving us an eternal home in heaven. Because the Bible says that, you know, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but loses his soul? You have an eternal soul that's going to live in heaven, or it's going to live separated from God in hell. The Bible teaches it very clearly. But if we follow what God says, and if we recognize the fact that God is no respecter of person, we will understand, we will leave this building today with the knowledge that every one of us is called to be a dreamer and a doer. Everyone. This is not just for certain people. The heroes of the faith in the Bible are noted because of their accomplishments. But let me tell you something. Every one of us is called by God to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Every one of us is called to be a follower of Christ. Every one of us is called to be a witness for Christ. Did you know that the word minister in the Bible just means servant? The word apostle in the Bible just means someone who is sent. Is anybody sent here today? Anybody sent by God into your community? Sent by God where you are? Are you lighting the place where you live? Are you the light of the world and the salt of the earth? Am I the light of the world and the salt of the earth? In my neighborhood, at the job, at school, you may be the only Christian that is represented there in that place. Every one of you today is called to the sphere of influence where you are. Whether you're in the family, you may say, I don't like the family I'm in. Because my family is far from perfect. Guess what? We're all far from perfect. Amen. You are called and placed where you are. This is not a coincidence. The Bible says this in Acts 17 when Jesus I mean, when Paul was teaching the Athenians, he said, God has set the boundaries where the nations should exist and the places where we should be. God places us in the sphere where we are. Somebody says, I don't like the hand I was dealt. Well, turn it around and turn it into a victory by God's power. This girl was being raised in a motel. This young girl in middle school could find every excuse to say, you know what? I'm not even going to try. She could spend her life in self-pity. And we might say, well, legitimately so. But she made a decision to change her attitude and to turn the lemon into lemonade. Somebody say amen. People in the Bible saw something even more important than clothing the naked. That's important. Feeding the hungry, that's important. Curing the sick, important. But people in the Bible saw something that needed to be eradicated in this world, something called sin, something called self, something called the flesh, something called the devil. Hallelujah. People in the Bible understood that there was a kingdom that was coming that was greater than all the kingdoms before. It was the kingdom of Christ. It was the kingdom that would have no end. The kingdom that would ultimately put down all injustice and all evil in the world. You know, so many people, even people who don't believe in God, believe in social justice. Even people who don't believe in God believe in helping the hungry, helping the poor, right? Making the world a better place. But as Christians, we get the whole package. We want to help the poor too. That's why we have volunteer opportunities at this church all the time. But we also want to save some souls. Hallelujah. Because someday all of us are going to die in this earth unless the rapture happens and God takes us up, you know, and out. We're going to stand before God and give an account for the life we lived. People like Abraham who had a promise from God in Genesis 12 verses 1 to 3. Genesis 12 verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And through you or in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. When did Abraham receive this promise? After he had children or before he had children? He had no children. He had no children till he was almost 100 years old. And yet he believed the promise. And yet he acted in faith. God said, leave your father's house. He packed up and left. And in Hebrews 11 verses 8 to 10, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. That's a person who saw something and did something. Oh, I wish I could get this point across even stronger. I don't want to wake up in heaven one day and think about all the things I saw and did nothing about. And I also don't want to have the excuse, Lord, you know I couldn't do this. I'm not a singer. I'm not eloquent. I'm shy. I'm not educated. I'm too young. I'm too old. God doesn't count any of those things. Because all the people that God used in the Bible had those problems plus some. Saul of Tarsus was a terrorist. He was a persecutor of the church, having Christians arrested and thrown in jail, and some of them persecuted to the point of death. God forgave him and used somebody who legitimately was a murderer. He was complicit. He was an accessory to the crime of murder. Are you with me this morning? The man who wrote more than half of the New Testament was an accessory to murder. God can transform every life because he has a plan for your life that is greater than the flesh. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. God has a dream. People like Joseph had a dream. Someday he was going to make a difference. He saw himself in some kind of leadership. He didn't understand it. Sometimes when we're young, you know, we go off a little bit crazy. And we try to do things in our strength, our own strength. We have to learn to rely on God. We have to grow up a little bit, right? But Joseph had something. And I want to tell you today, I speak this, I believe this is a word from the Lord. Don't let the devil steal what God has genuinely put in your heart. Joseph might have thought, you know what, this is just delusions of grandeur. I mean, why is that, Joseph? Well, my brothers didn't believe me. How do you know your brothers did? Well, they beat me up and they threw me in a well or in a pit. How many of you know it's not a happy day when your brothers sell you to be a slave? And then Potiphar's wife, he finally gets his a break. And in Potiphar's house, who is the captain of the guard for Pharaoh, this woman accuses him of trying to rape her. When in reality, he ran out of the house. So now, on top of everything else, his brothers sell him as a slave. Now he's been put in prison. And I could just hear the devil saying to Joseph, where's the dream? Where's this dream? Some Bible scholars say it was about 14 years from the time he received the dream to the time he actually realized it. With Moses, it was 40 years. After 40 years, he was a fugitive from Pharaoh. He was another one who was a murderer. Moses, an ex-con, 40 years in the desert, and now he's very, very humble because at first, the Bible says, he thought his brothers would understand that God was raising him up when he was 40 years old. You think, hey man, I'm 40 years old, I ought to know something by now. God said, no, let me wait till you're 80. We got any 80-year-olds in here? Moses just got started at 80. Abraham just got started at 100. God said to him, Moses, I am that I am. I have heard the cry of my people in Egypt. I have seen their affliction. I know their sorrows. And this is the part I love the best. And now I'm coming down to do something. I can't speak well. I stutter. Get somebody else. I'm not eloquent. God said, nope, I want you. Church, and I may continue this next week, so just allow me a little freedom here to just give you what's on my heart. Is that okay? Can I just share what's on my heart? What would happen instead of the 80-20, you know, when you study churches across America, around the world, unfortunately, it's typically in any given church, this is right across the board, doesn't matter what denomination, what type of church it is, 20% of the people in the church are doing 80% or 100% of the work. Or to put it another way, 20% of the church are truly mobilized. So what would happen if all of us realized that we're missionaries? Oh, well, I can't be a missionary. Well, wait. What does the word minister mean? Servant. What does the word disciple mean? Student. What does the word apostle mean? Sent. How many of you qualify under those definitions? We're all students, we're all servants of Christ, and we're all sent. We qualify. Turn to your neighbor and say, you qualify. Say, congratulations, minister so-and-so. You're a minister. Turn to somebody and say, you're a minister. Turn to somebody and say, you're an apostle. Because you're sent. If somehow we could get the understanding that we don't just have a vision, we've got to do what God says to do. And Jesus taught this in Matthew chapter 7. He said, you know, the man who built his house on the sand, you know the story, is like a person who hears my word and then goes on his way and does not apply it, does nothing about it. Amen? But the man who built his house on the rock, solid foundation, is the man who hears my words and then does something. Friend, this is the crux of the message right here. It's the doing that matters. It's in the doing. It's not just in having great dreams. You can have great dreams, great thoughts. You know, Pastor, I was thinking about you. Well, thank you. I appreciate you thinking about me. Pastor, I was feeling sorry for you. Thank you for feeling sorry for me. Or, Pastor, you know, I have such a burden for people in, I don't know, China. Just make something up. I have such a burden for people in China. Okay, what are you doing about it? Well, I'm reading books, and I'm watching movies about China. Well, are you praying about it? Oh, no, I never thought of that. Have you ever considered going on a short-term missions trip? Wow, I never thought I could do that. Am I even catching my drift here this morning? It's the dream, but it's in the doing. And I'm guilty of this. So, you know, if you think I'm picking on you, I'm picking on myself too. I have to do better. I have to be more of a doer. Help us. I have to be more of a doer. What percentage of the content of this book am I actually believing and putting into practice? It's not how much of the Bible you know. It's what percentage you're practicing. Come on now, somebody say amen. Amen. Help me, Lord. I need help with this. I'm sure we all do. Do not let what you can't do stop you from doing what you can do and what you should do. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. There were some shaky beginnings. It's amazing that God takes people like me and people like you and uses us for the glory of God. If you have a dream and you add to the dream some muscle, hallelujah, some prayer, some stick-to-itiveness, some determination, some forgiveness, some word of God, hallelujah, some praise, hallelujah, hallelujah. What if the army around Jericho never marched? Hey, those walls are going to fall down. Oh, great, the walls of Jericho are going to fall down. But guys, you got to go out and march around and blow the trumpets. No, I'd much rather stay in the barracks. No, you got to get up and go. But nothing happened. We did this one day. And it's hot out there. Yes, it's hot out there. The next day, march around. Finally, on the seventh day. What if they didn't shout? Now let out a shout as if you already have the victory. Joshua, the walls, they're 14 feet thick or whatever, 24 feet thick. Let out a shout. Dig a ditch. Hallelujah. Take your slingshot. Take 5 stones. Do something. Do something. Do something. Do something. Turn to your neighbor and say, do something. Do something. Don't be frozen. Don't be stuck. Don't be paralyzed. Do something. Hallelujah. Give God some praise. Do something. If you want things to change, do something. Do something. Hallelujah.